prayer. Big topic. Could probably do a series all year long. We may be doing that intermittently, but for the next three Sundays, we're going to be touching on the topic of prayer because it's so near and dear to God's heart and needs to be near and dear to ours as well. If you remember the third objective in our new vision statement that we felt the Lord gave to us is that we need to develop a life of personal and corporate prayer. To develop a life of personal and corporate prayer. Now, maybe you've already got your personal prayer life already developed. That's wonderful. I hope that most of us do. However, there may be some, and that's very typical, that are still struggling in that area. It seems to me that everybody, believers as well as non-believers, seem to understand that prayer is or can be important. When there's a crisis in the family, prayer is welcomed. When there's a crisis in the country, prayer is called for. I remember very distinctly way back in 9/11. I don't know if you remember or not, after the Twin Towers came down with those airplanes from the terrorists, billboards actually went up along our highways. Pray for America. People were flooding into churches, seeking prayer, seeking comfort and encouragement. But when everything is going well, there doesn't seem to be a real need for prayer anymore. After 9/11, emotions kind of settled back down. Boy, those billboards started to come down. Though people want to pray in the moment of crises, oftentimes they're at a loss of what to pray. I read a humorous story that kind of illustrates this. There's two men that were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull in the field. And immediately they began running for the fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon very apparent that they were not going to make it to the fence in time. Terrified, the one shouted out to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. I'll say the only prayer I know. It's the one that my father used to repeat at the table. "Oh Lord, for what we're about to receive, let us be thankful." I got some laughs. That's good. You know, prayer is so easy, yet seemingly so difficult. Because if we're honest with ourselves, so often, we often just have a hard time praying. Why? Well, I think one of the main answers to that was given by a Scottish minister. His name is Andrew Bonar, way back in the 1800s. He says this, "The prince of the power of the air seems to bend all the force of his attack against the spirit of prayer." Last week we mentioned that we need to keep in mind that we're in a spiritual battle. God wants us to pray. Satan doesn't. Both know the power of prayer. God wants to bless through the use of prayer. Satan wants to destroy through the lack of prayer. Daniel Defoe, I don't know if that name rings a bell. He was actually the author of Robinson Crusoe. The quote doesn't come from him, but he wrote this. It doesn't come from that book. "Whenever God erects a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel there. And 'twill be found upon examination, the latter has the largest congregation." Wow. That's a sad commentary, but I think it's so often true in so many churches. An American Presbyterian pastor by the name of A.T. Pearson back in the early 1900s wrote this, "God has no greater controversy with his people today than this, that with boundless promises to believing prayer, there are so few who actually give themselves unto intercession." Prayer is a word used by Christians every day. It's a common theme, common topic. We know that it's important to prayer. We often talk about the need to pray. We know that God answers prayer. We know that the work that God wants to do is accomplished through prayer. And yet so often these days there seems to be a lack of prayer in churches all across our nation. You know, one of the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance is that prayer is the primary work of God's people. Prayer is a primary work of God's people. What does that mean? Well, what does core value mean? If it's a core value, let's figure that out. I went to businessdictionary.com. Found this definition: core values, a principle that guides an organization's internal conduct as well as its relationship with the external world. That's good. Good definition. And if one of our core values is that prayer is a primary work of God's people, then we as a body need to be in prayer regularly and often about everything that goes on within the church. It should be our habit. That's our internal conduct. We as a body also need to be in prayer regularly and often about our relationship with the world around us. That's the external world that definition was talking about. Now this morning, I want to look at four different questions as we look at the topic, as we begin looking at the topic of prayer. First, what is prayer? Why should we pray? What should we be praying for? And how do we receive an answer to our prayers? So first of all, what is prayer? Well, different people have different ideas about prayer. And I think if you asked a general grouping of people, a lot of times the answer would be, well, prayer is asking God for something. Well, that's part of it. But there's so much more. I think oftentimes you'd get a description of, well, prayer is talking to God. Well, again, that's part of it. But there's more to it than that. A.B. Simpson said this: prayer is the link that connects us with God. What connects us with people? What connects us with our friends? It's usually conversation, isn't it? Getting together, fellowship, regular conversation time. You know, we have a relative in our family, and you may have one too, or know somebody like this, that when they come to visit, or if you happen to call them on the phone, it's incessant talking on their part. You can't get a word in edgewise. And even if you do, doesn't matter. They just continue on afterwards. And if they're visiting 3 days, oh my goodness, 3 days of nonstop talk, you don't have to say a word. That's not conversation. Or as in today's colloquial, it's not conversating. You ever heard that word? It's not communicating. When we were in India, my best friend there was Dr. B. He was a very upper caste. He had retired from a very high position in the Indian government. He was on the fourth floor. We were on the eighth floor. And every morning and evening, he'd walk around our apartment complex for exercise. And periodically in the evening, he'd give me a call and say, come on down. I want to talk to you about something. Okay. And down I'd go and walk with him. But as we were walking, he would start talking to me, and then he would pause. And then I would respond and talk to him. And then I'd pause, and he'd stop and talk to me. And we'd go back and forth, talking and listening and answering. That's conversation. That's communicating. And it should be exactly the same way when we talk with God. We need to be talking with God. And that's going to be our very simple definition of prayer: talking with God. God says in his word that he responds to his people when we pray. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says, call to me and I will what? I will answer. But so often we're so busy talking that we don't stop and wait to hear an answer from him. He says, I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. He wants to talk to us. We've all already clarified a very simple definition of prayer, talking with God. So why should we pray? Second question, why should we pray? There are a number of reasons. A simple answer is because God tells us to. Very simple, direct, a simple act of obedience. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord with while he may be found, call on him while he was near." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says to pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 21, verse 36 says, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Pray, pray, pray over and over and over again. And Scripture says, pray. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus is very clear when he says, "If you love me, what? Keep my commands. I've asked you to pray. I want you to pray." We need to pray because God tells us to. Secondly, God wants to be in communion with us, to have a conversation with us, to have a relationship with us. Remember way back in Genesis, we know that God used to walk in the garden with Adam. That must have been so cool, huh? Ever thought about that? They were talking. That's what he still wants. They had a relationship. They were conversing together. That was God's desire. That is God's desire. Thirdly, through the means of prayer, we can have access to God. We have access to God in order for us to be forgiven of our sins. That's the reason that the curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn apart when Christ died on the cross. To give us a personal access to him so that we can have a personal relationship with God. Fourthly, through prayer, we can remain spiritually alive and vital. You remember Jesus talking about the vine and the branches there in John chapter 15. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." See, by using this example of the vines and the branches, he's talking about the fact that the two are united together. Can branches live without the vine? Well, obviously not. We know that. The branches become useless to the vine. Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches. Our Christian life, our life in Christ can only be useful and produce fruit if we are in communion with him, if we are obedient to him, if we are loving him by allowing him to live through us. You see, the main vine always continually gives the branches water and nutrients that it needs to be fruitful and to live. They depend on the vine to supply their need. It's the same thing with a Christian. If we remain dependent on Christ through prayer, he will continue to give us his strength and his power to grow and remain strong. These verses tell us that we can do nothing without him. And then fifthly, through prayer, the power of God is exercised. Have you ever really thought about that? Through prayer, the power of God is exercised. In 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, I urge, he's insistent, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Then in Luke chapter 10:2, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Ask what? Ask the Lord of the harvest to do what? Ask him to send out workers into the harvest field. In both of these verses and many others, it tells us to pray for the work that God wants us to do, to change the hearts and lives of people. We need to be praying and asking God to do that. We come back to that core value. Prayer is a primary work of God's people. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in what? Everything. By prayer and petition With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the key phrase there is, in everything, by prayer. Now, why in the world do we need to pray for God to do what he wants to do? Can he just do it by himself? I mean, he's God, right? That's kind of a difficult question to find an exact answer to. What we do know, however, is that when we pray, it allows the power of God to work. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He's asking us to do that. It's a responsibility that he has given to us. Or when we don't pray, the power of God cannot, or perhaps say, the power of God will not be unleashed and be effective. It's God himself that's decided it to be that way. And he expects us to pray. And we don't pray just because God wants us to or because it's going to be beneficial to us. We pray so that God can accomplish what he has set out to accomplish. And our third question this morning is, what in the world should we be praying for? That's a big question. We're going to be dealing with that over the next couple of weeks. We can mention a number of things that we often pray for. Our needs, our employment, food on the table, clothes for the family, pray for our children. It's not wrong to pray for these things. God is concerned about us because he loves us. He's concerned about every detail in our lives, and he wants to help us, and he wants to bless us. Is this, however, what we should be spending most of our time praying about? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and then in verse 33, says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." These verses reveal to us the type of things that we should be focused on when we pray. Those who truly desire to seek the kingdom of God need to be praying for knowing and understanding God's plan, understanding the word of God, the strength to obey his word, asking for strength and the wisdom to accomplish the work that God wants to accomplish for furthering his kingdom. Praying for wisdom and strength and the working out of God's will is more important than praying for food and clothes and other things. Things that we think are going to make us happy, it's going to benefit us, make life easier for us, or perhaps more comfortable. Folks, God promises to hear us when we ask for things that are high on his priority list. James 1:5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him." We shouldn't only be praying in a manner that will make our lives easier. Unfortunately, so many Christians revert to that. But we need to be praying and asking God to help us to become what he wants us to be. Praying that God will fill us with his spirit of wisdom and strength and love and compassion. We need to become focused on him. There's an old song that goes, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world, what? Will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Focus. We need to be focused in the right area. Folks, if we get our mind and prayers focused on him and his will and his kingdom, his word says that all those other things that we tend to pray about usually, it's all going to be added as well. He wants to do that as also. It's kind of a twofer, isn't it? You pray for what God wants, and he'll take care of the other things as well. But we've got to get our priorities straightened out first. The Apostle Paul says that the thing that he considered the most important, that he desired the most was to know Christ. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. When was the last time we prayed like that? Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know the power of your resurrection. Jesus, I want to know the fellowship of sharing in your sufferings. Jesus, I want to become like you in your death. The Lord's Prayer, which we're going to be looking closer at the next two Sundays. There are seven requests that are made. And the first three, almost 50% of that prayer, are all about God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is it in heaven. When was the last time that 50% of our prayer was all about him and all about his kingdom? Folks, this is how we should be praying. If we begin praying that his name be glorified and honored and his kingdom would come and for his will to be done, it's going to be amazing the things in our own personal lives that we're going to see change and start taking place and be transformed as well. If the will of God really becomes our desire, everything about our daily life will become the will of God. Final question this morning. How do we receive an answer from God? Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. It says, we receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Now, this verse is not a magic formula for answered prayer. If I go to church, if I read my Bible, and if I pray, and if I don't smoke and drink and chase women and men or whatever, then God will answer my prayers. The verse doesn't say that God will answer my prayers if I keep his commands. It says that God will answer my prayers because I keep his commands. It's a very important distinction here. The word if indicates that I'm not already doing it. I'm thinking about it. And if I do that, hopefully God will do something else for me. The word because indicates that I am already keeping his commands. It's already a part of my everyday life. Because I am in the process of living a victorious life in Christ, I am already doing what is pleasing to God, and it's because of that that God will answer my prayers. There are people that go to church every Sunday. That's a good thing, but there are so many, and I'm sure that you know some that go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, you wouldn't even know they're Christian. There's no difference between them and anybody else. But when illness and calamity comes on them, then all of a sudden they want to pray and they want to become spiritual. And then they find that their prayers maybe aren't being answered and they get upset and they get angry at God. But it's their own fault. It's because their everyday sinful life hinders God from answering prayer. A pastor by the name of Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, again, back in the 1800s, once said, it is not well for a man to pray cream and live skim milk. Let that sink in a little bit. We can pray up a storm in church, can't we? During the week, our lives are just watered down. So what's the lesson for today? Well, in light of God's word and what he can accomplish, in light of how important prayer is for us as individuals and for us as a church, we need to become a church devoted to prayer. We need to become a church devoted to prayer. And if our core value is that prayer is a primary work of God's people, that means that we must become a people devoted to prayer. We must become a church. We must become a church devoted to prayer. And that starts with each one of us individually. You know, there's a difference between a church that prays and a church devoted to prayer. What's that difference? Well, Reverend Fred Hartley, he's a lead pastor at Lilburn Alliance Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He, a number of years ago, he made up this this chart that we're going to take a look at. It says, a church that prays, prays for what it does. A church devoted to prayer works and ministers by prayer. A church that prays, prays at its convenience. A church devoted to prayer prays at the command of God. A church that prays, prays when there's a problem. A church devoted to prayer prays when there are advantageous opportunities. A church that prays feels guilty knowing that she should be praying more. A church devoted to prayer is joyful, having the desire to pray more. A church that prays announces a prayer meeting and a few from the church show up. A church that devoted to prayer announces a prayer meeting and the whole church shows up. A church that prays asks God to bless their programs. A church devoted to prayer asks God to prepare them to do what He is already blessing. A church that prays believes she is just too busy to pray. A church devoted to prayer knows she is too busy not to pray. A church that prays is frustrated by the lack of finances, so limits her ministries. A church devoted to prayer covers a financial deficit with prayer, and the finances are provided miraculously. A church that prays inserts prayer someplace. A church devoted to prayer gives priority to prayer. And the tenth one, the church that prays uses God. A church devoted to prayer is used by God. If we want to become a church devoted to prayer, we need to first become a people devoted to prayer. Folks, we need to be a church devoted to prayer. God's given us a vision. He's given us a vision that He wants to accomplish through Sile Community Church. But He cannot, or it, the vision, cannot be accomplished without fervent prayer. As you know, next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to gather together as a body to pray. Asking for God's blessings, asking for God's power, asking for His strength, asking for His wisdom and discernment. An evening of corporate prayer. It's going to be a first in number throughout the year. And I would encourage all of us to come together, to have a time that we can pray for what God is going to do, what He has laid out, where He is blessing. Because, folks, that's what He's promised to do, hasn't He? If we pray, He is going to bless. If we want to see God work amongst us, if we want to see the success of the vision, if we want to see Sile Community Church touching lives out beyond us, if we want to see ourselves building that relationship within and encouraging one another, building our faith together in Jesus Christ, we need to pray. Father, this morning, prayer is essential. In our heads, we know that. For so many of us, that's been drummed into us since childhood. But going from our head knowledge to our heart knowledge, where it begins to transform our lives into a life of prayer, where we can have a church that's devoted to prayer. Sometimes that's difficult. We are busy. So many things going on. But Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning and let us have a personal realization in our own life that we are just too busy not to pray. I'm not saying that we have to give up doing good things, doing things that are necessary. Father, we need to take that time to pray together so that you would help those things that we are already doing and that you want us to add to our schedule, which we think in our mind, there's no way I can add anything to my schedule. But with you, all things are possible. And as we pray, we know that you're going to work. We're going to see some mighty things take place. So, Father, do a new work in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For our benediction this morning, I just want to read a couple of verses from Romans chapter 11. Verses 33 and 36 is, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Let's go in peace across the aisle to the